I'm John Wells, and this is a Hamilton Spectator podcast to accompany part three of my three-part series, Body and Soul, inside McMaster's Anatomy Lab. In addition to watching dissection of cadavers in the lab, I spent an afternoon watching neurovascular surgical residents perform procedures on cadavers, the type of procedures they would need to do, for example, to treat pituitary gland tumors in the brain, entering with a probe through the nasal cavity. I found it comforting, seeing how hard they work, how hard they practice such complex treatment. There's a school of thought that says digital imaging and plastic models can teach students perhaps as well as using cadavers, but surely nothing could be as instructive to surgical residents as operating on what had so recently been living human beings. I wrote in my story, in fact, about a study in the U.S. that said students learn best on cadaverous material. There's another thing that images on a computer screen or models can never provoke in a student, or a journalist for that matter, and that is a contemplation of what we are as humans. You look at a cadaver opened up in the lab who had been this living, breathing person recently, and it is sobering in a way. It's as though you are witnessing the wiring having been yanked from a simple machine. So what is it? What are we when the light is on? The soul, as I wrote in the story, is not part of the anatomy curriculum. But a few of the students I spoke to in the lab told me that they believe in something, in an energy of some kind that animates the living, breathing human, something that leaves the body upon death, that is no longer in the room when they work over the cadavers. These were the sorts of things that crossed my mind when I attended the service of gratitude that McMaster holds for the families of donors. This was last spring, it was a beautiful day, and hearing the names of the donors and seeing family members who I had interviewed and thinking about what I had seen in the lab, it felt emotional to me for reasons that I probably cannot adequately explain. In the end, my experience working on this story was perhaps the most unusual and interesting one I've had as a journalist, and one that, and not for the first time on this job, made me appreciate life and its many gifts. Thanks for listening. I'm John Wells.